Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apologies, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday in our study of Revelation chapter 2, we were taught that the sins given in Revelation chapters 2 and 3 are not referring to the sins of the churches of the last day, but they've been in churches all through the ages. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Then there's Laodicea, the increased with good super church that has emphasized the flesh and sensuality. And Jesus is outside of it knocking on the door in the 1500s. It was reported that as they were walking up the steps there in Rome, one said, "We can no longer say silver and gold have I none," as they looked at the beauty of these buildings and all the richness of its gold. But the other man repeated to him, "Yes, but can we say, rise up, take thy bed, and walk?" And you see, my friend, even in the 1500s, we see an evidence of Laodicea, and it's quite evident because that's the dominating religion, so to speak, in the world of that day. Today we see it with churches with their rock and roll, and they say, "Look at us, we're increased with goods. We have need of nothing. We've got this, we've got that, we've got everything that the flesh could desire." And that's the point, is what the flesh desires. And they don't know that they're blind and poor and naked and destitute. They don't know that. They're not preaching repentance. If they say repentance, they're very vague or very general with it. And so they allow repentance to be very vague and very pragmatic. Only what society considers as evil should we repent, and not what the Word of God, His Holy Spirit, shows us is wrong. So he's also on the outside of churches like that that have been that way throughout the entire church age. And you look at Laodicea, and it seems to dominate in the last days. But then we look at other scriptures concerning the last days in Matthew and Timothy and Thessalonians, 1 Corinthians and Jude, and we see some things about these other churches that are dominant in the last days. And so what we're saying here is that these sins were prevalent in the churches who are addressed in these two chapters during the first century. These things were manifested in those churches, and they have never gone away since. Different sins are manifest throughout the period of the church age, with Laodicea being the one most prevalent at this present time that we think. But my friend, it's not just Laodicea. It's all these churches. And so that tells us to ever be on guard. Ever be on guard, because any of these sins can afflict our lives individually and our lives as a church. And so this is a warning, these two chapters of the present church age and of things that will affect us. Now, let us look at the church at Ephesus in our text. It starts as the other churches by addressing the pastor first. And notice the eternal reasoning that is involved here. It says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." There is a particular call to this angel or to this pastor at the church. James chapter 3 warns about desiring this office without the knowledge that the man in this office also is held to a, you might say, a finer tooth comb when it comes to the judgment. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, we're told, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation," or the end of their matter of life. And these were some people who at one time had preached the word and were pastors over them, and had been good pastors, who rightly divided the word, who lived according to the word. And so he says, consider the end of their life. Consider that they were true. Consider that they were faithful. This is kind of looking at those pastors teaching and preaching the word of God in the past. And follow the instruction of faith, that is, doctrine and duty. Follow those things. They laid a foundation preaching the word of God. And all of us can go back and we can remember that old preacher that just preached the word and was so true to the word, and it still rings in our heart. Now, why would you consider the end of their manner of life? Why is that important to you in the realm of eternal things? Well, as verse 15 will show, the pastor will give an account. Again, we read in verse 17, it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in that stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Now, he has just told about this reward that will be given. But to receive a reward, there has to be an account given. So in our text, and here throughout chapters 2 and 3, we'll see the words about obey and submit. Obey and submit speak of both duty and attitude. As a matter of fact, children, obey your parents, and wives, submit yourselves to your husbands, are the same words used as referring to us in our obedience and submission to the Lord Jesus Christ, but also to these pastors who are over us in the Lord. And so, when we just read Hebrews 13, verse 17, that we're to obey and submit ourselves because they watch for our souls, they're going to give an account. And that account will affect you as well as myself for those who have pastored me. How do they watch for your souls? How is the pastor watching for your soul? Well, Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, we pastors must warn. We must reprove. We must rebuke. We must do that with doctrine as we are instructed to do. Listen to this from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Now, this is telling the preacher how to preach. His preaching should have reproof and rebuke in it. It should be with doctrine. It should be based strongly in the Word of God. And he needs to keep on doing it, exhorting with all long-suffering. Some people don't like exhortation, where the preacher tells you, you need to be a witness. You need to be pure. You need to have devotions. You need to tithe. You need to be faithful Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. People call that beating them up. But the truth of the matter is, it's being obedient to God. It's interesting when one reads the Ten Commandments, 8 of those Ten Commandments are negative. Thou shalt not. As a matter of fact, some would even think the 2 that aren't supposed to be negative are negative. For an example, honor thy mother and thy father. And some say, oh, man, you don't know how my mother and father are. And they would even view that as negative. One reads Deuteronomy 28, and about 14 verses are spent on the blessings God will bestow if they're obedient. But then, up to the 63rd, 64th, 65th verse of the chapter, from 15 on, it's nothing but about the judgments God will pour out if they're disobedient. And that chapter is also 80% what man would call negative, and he would even call some of the positives negative, saying, we need to do that, we have to do that. I don't want to have to do that. He should just bless me anyway without me having to do that. So again, people don't like it, but it's right, and have no idea that the reason 8 of the 10 commandments are negative, the reason most 80% of Deuteronomy 28 is negative, and the reason we're told here in 2 Timothy 4:2 to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with long-suffering and doctrine, And that seems negative to people. Well, the reason is that Christ knows that you're going to live forever if you're saved with him. And he wants the best for you. He doesn't want you saved so as by fire. He doesn't want you ashamed at his appearing. It's God's love that leads preachers to preach in this manner. And he adds, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Verse 4 will say, they'll be turned unto fables. You see, my friend, modern psychological preaching is designed to make people feel good without instilling in them the fear of God. Psychology is the mother of false hope, false security, and false religion. We don't need so-called Christian psychology. We need obedience to the Word of God. And so, in these last days, people are wanting to get away from sound doctrine, from that kind of preaching. Too many are looking for a church by which to be entertained. And if a church is such, that it's not necessary to carry a Bible to church because they're going to have it on the screen. Well, if that's the case, you're probably in the wrong church. If they flash scriptures on the screen, but you're not seeing the entire chapter in context, and on top of that, they're using another version instead of that good old King James, or they're using something that is not translated from the Textus Receptus and Masoretic text, then you are probably in the wrong church. If they expound on life with a few scriptures thrown in to illustrate it, whether in or out of context, and instead of expounding on the scriptures and using a life illustration to illustrate it, then, friend, you're probably in the wrong church. Seek that church that expounds the Word of God and makes it all about Jesus Christ and His holiness instead of philosophical meanderings. Now, the last days, they'll be turned unto fables. And fables, in 2 Timothy 4:4, according to the Greek lexicon of biblical language, carries the idea of strategies, reasonings, and agendas of men for doing God's work in a particular culture or period of time during the church age by blending in with the secular culture with the religious facade. Well, you see with the contemporary music in the churches today that's exactly what's going on. And that is a definite sign being referred to of the last day's practice among so-called Christian people and local churches. And it's a filthy, rotten, low-down, vile sin in God's sight. Whether we agree with that or not, really, we're not the judges. God is, and He's the one that says right is right and wrong is wrong. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click to the lamp and light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.